Good morning, everyone. Lisa here from Canine Nose Time. Today, thanks for everyone that's joined us too, and feel free to contribute, ask questions and whatever else. But I just, I had a few things to announcement-wise first is upcoming events. We have this weekend, I think everyone is at Stroud. They're doing vehicles and containers, so I look forward to hearing how everyone goes. I don't know how far away Stroud is, but but there seems to be quite a number of people that have actually gone up to the trial. So wishing them all the best. Hi Danielle, you start off muted and no video, and up to there it's up to everyone if they would like to mute. Karen says it's 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours away. So yeah, I mean, that's awesome. So yeah, that sounds like there's some good results coming out from Stroud anyway. There's the chat. That's cool. Good-o. So upcoming events, yes, Stroud. The Northern Suburbs trial is on, entries open on the 21st after 7 p.m. I think the cost is $15. And the date, I think it was at December 11. So people can keep an eye out for that one. Karen, you can correct me if that's wrong. And the other event, I know that Nat and Leanne have another Christmas sniffing thing out at Glenorie, and that is on Saturday 26th. If you would like any details, just send me a message and I can pass along their contact details. And there's $10 a run, so you can take different dogs and just give your dogs a run, which is, it's a really nice property and nice for the dogs to search somewhere different, and they always have a good time out there. So just send me a message and I'll connect you with Nat and Leanne. And otherwise, this week, I hope everyone's had a good week at training and having fun with their dogs. We had a really interesting week, Canine Nose Time wise, with my classes. And but what I really wanted to touch on this, like today, is odor, just getting some education and information out there about odor ethics. And I know most of you that are in this already have a very good understanding of odor ethics, and sort of how to keep your odors, how to store them, where to get them and all the rest. But the more we can get that information out to everyone else, I think we'll all have a better training environment and better, more successful training. So the odor suppliers, I wanted to go over that. If you've got any odor suppliers that you know of that you get odor from, let me know. Ultimate Canine is where I get my sort of trial ready odor. So when I'm coming up to a trial, I'll get odor from Ultimate Canine, because all the ACSW competitions are supplied from Ultimate Canine. I make odor as well for Canine Nose Time students and instructors, but I still think it's a good idea to make sure that you get odor from other suppliers as well. Just because you never know, people make it differently. There's different amounts. There's also different botanical, like where the plants were grown and whatever has different odor. So really good to keep that variety in your training. The other suppliers, I don't know who makes sort of the ANKC odor. I know that the judges, I think, make their own. Karen, is that correct? Or if anyone can correct me on that. But I don't think they have like a, yes, it is. Thanks. I don't think they have a set supplier. The judges make it. Okay, cool. But they do have a set sort of methodology on how to make it. And their way of making it is slightly different to the way that ACSW makes odor. And ACSW makes odor in the fashion that NACSW makes odor. So there's instructions out there for both, And if anyone is interested in those, just shout out. There's a NACSW video on how to make your own odour, and the instructions for ANKC odour, I think that's fairly widely available, but I know Peter Clark has a video out there to make your own odour. So on that, however, I would say that it's better to get odour from other sources, especially if you're just starting out. So I would wait to start making your odour until you have a really good understanding of how odour works and how odour moves and just how volatile the odours that we use are. One tiny little drop, you know, on your cupboard, and that source for life. Like, it's really volatile stuff we're using, much more so than what professional dogs are looking for. So Karen's just mentioned that Teresa is currently making a video too on making ANKC odour. Awesome. So when she does that, pass it along if you can, Karen, that would be great. And I can, you know, if anyone wants that information, they're welcome to have it. But yeah, while you're starting out, I would definitely leave that responsibility to someone else, because, you know, there, you hear stories about people putting full drops of odour on a Q-tip, and that would be quite overwhelming, I think, for the dogs and for the humans. So yes, that's probably what I have to say about that. I think there are lots of other people out there making odour, but they're probably the main ones. And if you are ever making your own, make sure that you're getting the right botanical names. That's really important. Okay, what else did I want to talk about? Odour ethics. And it's probably a really vague term, but I think there's an understanding and sort of an agreement we have with other trainers that training us, you know, you want to put the best and make training as supportive as possible for everyone. And what comes along with that, I guess, is not leaving out training aids for other teams to accidentally fall over. And I, you know, I talk about this in class all the time, is that it's so easy to do, and I'd never blame anyone for doing it. And, you know, if it's unintentional, because accidents happen, and, you know, I have nightmares about it. I'm sure it's not that serious, but I wake up, you know, I'm very, very careful about the odours that I put out and the odours that I pick up. And most of you guys know, I've told you before, I've left odour out in a class, gotten home and just gone, and had to drive the whole way back to pick up the odours. But to me, that's how important it is not to jeopardise other people's training, and because that's what it can do. And you want to just have that respect for other people, that odour is not out in the environment, that is not under your control. And that includes, particularly in environments like the showground, is where so many people are training, it's really, really easy to come across residual or lingering odour anyway. So the more accountability we can have, the better. I think there's different strategies people use to account for their odours. I know some people take photos of where they've put their odour so that they can come back at the end of class or at the end of their training session and pick up and know exactly where they are. I think that's a really good idea, especially for challenging hides like grass hides. And that's, you know, sometimes you've got to get your dog out to find it, but make sure they do. I think it's that's a really good way. I count mine because sometimes I'm putting out so many odors, the picture isn't going to make any too much difference to me anyway. So I make sure that at the beginning of the class I count exactly how many odours I have put out and exactly how many go back into my kit. That can become confusing if you're sharing classes or leaving out odours. So that's really important to take into account as well. But I think the main idea with this is to just make sure that people understand that it's not beneficial for other dogs to sort of fall over odors. We wouldn't leave odor out for our own dogs to be hitting on and not getting rewarded, or even worse, to be corrected on. That you think they're sniffing something else and it turns out that they're actually trying to, you know, tell you that there's odor. And it is a bigger problem for sensitive dogs and dogs that maybe don't have as much experience. Obviously, more experienced dogs have that backup that they, it's not going to have that much of an effect on them. That's probably, does anyone have any sort of information, or not information, but, you know, feedback on that? I know we had before I had decided to do this talk, I had decided to do this talk on odor ethics earlier in the week, because I think it's overdue time-wise, and it's something I just keep forgetting to sort of talk about in the Facebook group. So I had decided earlier in the week to do this talk, and then on we were training, Danielle and I were training on Thursday morning at the George Bell, and I brought my dog Ranger. I very rarely bring Ranger to classes, so he did really well. He was having a fun time. But I had set out this particular search where there was two different odors, and one of the problems was on a material hangy thing that I got from Karen, which was super fun. And that was the more challenging hide. And then there was another one, which was actually an inaccessible, just starting the dogs off an inaccessible. It was just a little container where the dogs couldn't see that there was odor inside. And they actually really navigated it quite well to getting up into the top corner where the odor was actually coming out. So they were the two puzzles that I'd set, and they were about a meter and a half or 2 meters away from each other. So they were quite close. But when we were training, Ranger, the first one that he hit on, actually I can't remember the sequence. I might actually share the video in the Facebook group to show you my mistakes. But what he did was he was really searching up across the wall where, to my knowledge, there was no odor. And he made this really quite definite indication. And he's a bit of a nervous alerter sometimes. He doesn't false alert. Or what I would call false alert. So this was sort of out of the ordinary for him. And I didn't put an odor there. So I'm leaning down and I'm looking up and I'm trying to find where the odor is, and I couldn't see anything. And I'm like, well, maybe there was blue tack there, or maybe there was sticky tape there or something. I'm like, good job, buddy. Find another one, you know, let's go. You know, I was just instinct kicked in. So off he goes and he found the other ones, and that was fine. So I put him back in the car. And Danielle and Natalie were like, yeah, there's an odor there. And I just couldn't see it. But it was in a little straw on the metal pole holding up the bench. And I, you know, immediately I was disappointed in myself for not taking what information he had to give me. I'm sure he doesn't care, and I'm very, very well aware that he will be just fine. But it was just timely when I had already decided to talk about this that on Thursday this happens to me and my dog. And there was another dog that did find that odor as well. Was that Rory? I think it was Rory.
It was Pippin.
Pippin, that's right.
Yeah. Rory, I actually watched his video. He didn't even go in the area to find that one.
It must have just been along that wall.
Mm.
But pretty amazing that Pippin is also a nervous dog. Mm. And it was pretty amazing that, and he doesn't like, you know, higher hides either.
No,
he's like, keeps his head towards the ground and he's like, this is my safe zone. So the two nervous dogs are the ones that, and the next class didn't hit it at all.
That's so interesting.
And I left that there for the next class because I thought it was wrong to take it away just in case there was still odor there.
Mm.
And I didn't know how long it had actually been there for, but they all knew where the odor was. I showed it to them. They all came and had a look. And none of the dogs hit it. So to me, that was really surprising. I don't know what had changed or whether there was you know, odor movement or anything, but for some reason none of them even went near that area either. So they did go near the area because the handlers took them over there hoping that they would catch it. But
and I think that was the third time that our class has found weird hides in the George Bell or around the George Bell.
Yes.
I know that I think Crosby found some on the outside once.
They were the naked Q-tips.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you discussed naked Q-tips?
It is on my list, actually, but my list is pretty long. That is actually a really good point. So I will touch on that now. Storing in acceptable containers. Yeah, the reason I think some people with the way that ANKC make up their Q-tips, because there is infusion, it's difficult to say whether there's actually residual going to still be on the environment or not. And it's something I'm just not willing to take a chance on anyway. So I think it's good for best practice that Q-tips are always kept in a different container, meaning a centrifuge or a tin or anything like that. And I think we were really surprised when we found that those naked Q-tip hides. Mm. I was like, and that was another one we hit on and we couldn't see the...
Not at first, no.
The source.
Mm.
I can't remember if we rewarded on that or not.
I can't remember either. I have to go find the video. I think there were actually a series of two or three hides. And I think we didn't reward the first one, but by the time the dog we started realized. Hitting on the second one, we were like, hang on, there's something there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was a really interesting one because the dogs were going up the metal. And this is the thing, like it's not just our class. I find them with other classes too. Mm. I've been in classes with Lynn, like literally a couple times a term we'll find hides either in or around buildings. There was an exterior search we actually did. It was a really big search. So there was like 10 hides in it or something, you know, quite a big search. And Lynn's dog actually alerted right near the one I had put out, but somewhat on another hide. And I'm like, no. And then she's like, but I can see it. And there was a hide right there in the tree, and the hide I had put out, of course, nobody finds. But that was the other time that Danielle, you and I were training on a Thursday morning, and I had put out hides very carefully, nice, yeah. You know, great hide placement, and the dogs came in and found three different hides.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on. They didn't find any of mine, but these other three hides, oh, there was one on the rubbish bin and I think two others in the room, they found really beautifully. But anyway, oh, yeah, that was another good one, Karen. I was standing talking to Karen. I was standing and she was sitting on a bench up near the Federation building, and Sarah was just on the lead. She'd finished her search and she was sniffing up a tree and she started to do these weird behaviours, and I'm just talking away to Karen. All of a sudden Sarah comes over to the chair right where Karen's sitting and she starts like pawing at the dirt, and I'm like, oh no, she's going to get some food. And I was about to correct her, and I literally just like, because she's a stubborn old thing, and I literally just went, wait, something's different here. And she dug up a hide from under the soil. I have no idea how long it was there. I couldn't smell anything. Maybe it was just the plastic she was smelling. I don't know. I probably shouldn't underestimate the dog, should I? But yeah, she found this really, it was covered in dirt. Like I didn't even see it until she, you know, scratched it out of the dirt. But that was another time. But usually, you know, like it's one thing to say trust your dog, but it's also another thing to make sure that you're doing good training. And in my opinion, this does not help good training to have hard situations like that where it puts you in a position, am I going to reward this or am I not? I don't think that is a good place for handlers to be. It didn't feel good for me. To not reward my dog. even though it was in hindsight, is a wonderful thing. So I think the more we can just sort of spread that message and make sure people know that always put your Q-tips inside something so that it doesn't contaminate the environment, and always, to within the best of your ability, pick up your hides. So the other thing I wanted to touch on was storing hides in at home, and particularly for newer teams, it's important to store your hides in like a cool or dark place where your dogs don't really go all the time. And the other point that I think is important is to store them in glass jars with either metal lids or something that's really that odor doesn't permeate through, because plastic can often, odor can get through that plastic. The other thing with the centrifuges is to make sure there is an opening for odor to escape, which, you know, over time, obviously, the dogs would be able to find it too. But set time as well is important when we're putting out hides, is to make sure they're out for enough time for the dogs to get information to be able to find them. And using your Q-tips, I think that it's possible to use your Q-tips quite a lot before you throw them out. Generally, as an instructor, mine have a lot of time out in the environment. So I'll usually use them only for a term or maybe two terms. This term I have extended it a little bit just to make sure the dogs have experience on lower volumes of odor. And that, you know, they don't have any problem with it. But then after, when you're disposing of your odor, I think it's good practice to take them out, put them in a Ziploc or something, and dispose of them on bin day is a really good, it's a good reminder to go, oh, yeah, it's time to get rid of my odor. Bin day, excellent. Dog is not exposed to the odor sitting in your bin cooking for for 3 days before you throw the bin out or whatever. And what else? Have I missed anything else on odor ethics and training practices when it comes to odor?
I don't think so. I think it is good to for your dogs to practice on hides that you've prepared at various stages. I have to admit, I get a bit lazy and I just keep reusing hides for probably longer than I should.
Yes, I think we all do. I do, yes, as well, because sometimes I'll get to class. But it's also, it is really important, and I will put out hides that I know have been not stored, you know, in the little glass jar or have just been stored in my larger plastic sealed container. The longer they have exposure to the air, the more they it's a sciencey term, off gas, or
do you think that different hides, different scents last longer?
That's a really good question,
because I've wondered if anise, which a lot of dogs struggle in, and even I find the scent kind of disappears a bit quicker with anise. I don't know.
That's a good question, because I've really seen lately the Americans have sort of started talking about anise and how it is more challenging. And to be honest, I haven't really noticed it until this year, which is strange, like, what, 10 years? Because anise is something, the only one I can really identify. The others are, you know, I don't like licorice. I can smell anise. Mm. It's very clear to me. but they have been talking about anise having a lower vapor pressure. And that could have something to do with it. Mm. So maybe anise has to be out longer in the environment. I'm, you know, totally hypothesizing here. But there could be that element, and maybe it does off gas faster. So there's less source left. And Karen has just said, swap hides with others so your dogs get used to hides being handled by others, not just yourself. Yeah, that is really important too. And to get other people to put your hides out within the, you know, boundaries of that sort of odor ethics and still keeping that, you know, really important. That, but I do agree, because I think that when the one person is always putting your hides out, and you know, your instructors don't always wear gloves. I think it is important for other people to put the hides out occasionally, as long as it's within the framework of that sort of odor ethics guidelines. I have made sure, and I think it's really important that instructors are the only ones to pick up hides. So that's something that I've expressed to all of them as well, just to make sure that we're still accountable for how many hides we put up and pick up. Put out and pick up. So that will be sort of it's a new sort of guideline coming into classes, canine nose time classes, this term or next term. But yes, where was I? Did I go on a tangent then? Anise, that's where I was. I guess the answer is I don't know. Never will. Many tangents, Karen. There's always a tangent to go on in nose work, isn't there? Okay, well, does anyone have any other input, comments, feedback, or you're waiting until I stop recording? Yeah, I know.
Does in ACSW trials, do they ever do combo sense?
As far as I'm aware, yes. I do have the rule book in front of me. But, yeah, as far as I'm aware, it can be. Do they do that in ANKC?
I have no idea.
Who's the brains trust on ANKC here? If it's not easy to find, I'll just post it. But I'm 95% sure that this rule book that I apparently had a hand in. Yeah, let's find that out, because I actually don't know with ANKC whether they can use combos or not, but I am pretty sure that they can in.
I'm sure it isn't a problem for most dogs to find combo odors, but I think I heard it in another podcast recently and I realized I barely ever put out combo hides.
I put them out in training. I generally don't even mention it. But I also only put them out to experienced teams. So where some people you know, they that methodology of starting on a combination odor, and that has been they've done scientific research on that, and basically said that it is not the most effective way. Yes, the dogs might learn different odors, but there will always be an overpowering odor that they will be more likely to be successful on. So I think it's a really good practice to go the other way, and which is how canine nose work methodology trains the three different odors, and then later on you can combine them. And the dogs don't, there's literally no issues at all. I do put them out fairly regularly. Yeah. So your dogs probably have done them.
Okay, I thought so.
but yeah, it is probably something I need, you know, we should practice more and actually tell people that they're training on. But yeah, no, it's a good question. I'm interested in the ANKC side, whether they do or not. So Karen, actually all the judges are in a trial today, so they won't get back to us very quickly. But I'll keep you posted on that. Anything else? Otherwise, I will pause the recording and I'll upload this to the. I am in the process of asking the Google Podcasts to accept our little speech here so that it can be shared further. And just, you know, I think it's good for us all to get together every now and then and have a chat about these things. Karen is going to find out for us about the ANKC odors. Thank you. Okay, I am going to stop the recording then.